Before I actually go to the message, I would like to take a little time to pray with you in regards just to our country and to our election that's coming up. I think there's concerns on both sides. I don't know that our country has ever been in a situation like it is today in regards to all of that. But you know, our country is still far better than most, but it does need our prayers. And we need to not take our eyes off of Christ. For regardless of how the election turns out, he is sovereign, and he is the one that we lean on and we trust for all things. But I told you, this friend of mine that we were emailing this week, and I remembered why we were emailing. I had read a newsletter from a missionary family that I had met back in Nigeria, and this friend of mine served in Nigeria for several years, but a seminary that I had a privilege of teaching at, and Mark Johnson from IBC has also taught at. In the last few months in Nigeria, one of their students has been kidnapped, but later was released. Several individuals from the city there have been killed, and then the military came in and shot a number of individuals right there at the gate at that seminary. And here's a Bible seminary, Bible college, trying to produce men and women to serve the Lord, and that's what they're living in. And they have great faith. and we live in a country that doesn't know anything about that, and we're shaken so quickly. Our faith seems to be so tiny at times. And I think we are at a time where our faith should shine, and that we never forget who really is King. And where our trust really is supposed to lie. Would you just pray with me as we just take our country, this election, to the Lord and just ask him to work? Father, we come before you with heaviness of heart and great concern for this nation that you in the past have blessed so abundantly. But we as a nation have deliberately, and I think sometimes with purpose, moved away from you. There was a time when we could speak freely of you and teach from the scriptures in our schools. There was a time when prayer was recognized as important and needed. We had the freedom to speak of you and to proclaim your word without being ashamed. That still should be the case for us. But because things are changing so rapidly and we see our own nation turning quickly from any foundation where biblical principles and biblical ethics are despised and rationalized away, and we are about to elect a new president, and there is great tension on both sides. Each candidate is desperately different than the other, and each would take our country in a different way than what it is going presently. And I would ask that you would work in our midst and give us wisdom as we have the responsibility and the privilege to vote, to have a voice. But regardless, may our confidence and our trust be in you. May we understand that you have everything under control and that you have promised that one day this old world is going to come to an end. And maybe what we're seeing is proof of that. But regardless, we cannot focus on just the issues of today. We must look beyond and seek your honor and your glory in everything we do. Father, we can't maybe change the direction of our country, but we can change the attitude and the direction of our own hearts. And I pray that that's where it would start. So we just submit this into your hand, asking you now to work through your word today, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start out with the future. And there is great question. There's question in regards to Tuesday's vote and which candidate is going to be elected and what will happen following. But there is so much in regards to the future that we're uncertain of. And young families, we have, Central is blessed to have so many young families in our congregation, and the concerns that they must carry and wondering about their futures and children and all of that. And those of us that are older, we have children and grandchildren that are dealing with so much in the world, and so we wonder. But all too often, when we're faced with situations like this, we have a tendency to retreat. We have a tendency to draw back and find our comfort zone where we feel safe and secure, and we almost want to let the world go to hell. And so we seek our own safety, we our own security, and we tend to forget about the impact that we are supposed to have in the world in which we live. Whether it's a land of peace and prosperity, or whether it's a land of turmoil and warfare, and we are to be seeking to reach out for the glory of God, impacting the world in which we live. And so as we think about the future, and it's very, very uncertain, I have to ask, are we really planning for the future? And I mean the future. You know, if I was thinking of only of this life, then I'm certainly not the poster child that you want to follow. The journey that we have traveled through our lives after we come to know Christ has been quite different. But I, like most young couples, when you first get married, you don't know anything. You can live on love alone, right? But then children begin to come. And then things begin to click. And the responsibilities and the cares and the concerns. And we were, like most young couples, headed in that journey. And our first child was born, and I knew that I needed to switch jobs and begin to think about making money and security and all of that. And so I did. But it was during that time that the Lord rattled my chain and changed my whole mindset. And so at that particular point, all I could really think about was the need to prepare for now, the need to prepare for my family, to earn enough to make sure that they're well taken care of. But when he rattled my chain and called me into the ministry, I found that that all changed. And so I haven't been the poster child of how to save and plan and make sure that things are secure for this life. So don't follow my plan. But I'm talking about really planning for the future. All of us will live for eternity, every one of us. After this life, when we die, our bodies will be buried, but we will live for eternity somewhere. And that's really what I'm trying to get at this morning, the importance of really planning for the future. Because if all I do is plan for right now, the Bible has a great example of that. There was a farmer who was doing quite well. And his crops were coming in, and he built barns. And he finally came to the point where he said, "Soul, you have ample goods. Laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." And that's what our culture lives for. I mean, that's what the American dream is. But there was something this guy was forgetting. And God responded to him by saying this, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself." That doesn't stop there. And I want you to understand that. Planning for the future and setting stuff aside and thinking ahead, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes your ultimate goal and you forget that you're going to live forever, then there's problems. And so he says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." See, there's a way that seems right unto man, and I was headed down that journey as a young man and facing life and realities and all of that. And so there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And the Bible reminds us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say there's anything wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having lots of money. But it's the perspective of life and where we're going and what we're really living for and what we're really planning on. And so that's what we want to deal with. And I find it interesting that when we come to the book of Jeremiah, right in the midst of it, we're reminded of this, because if you've been following the book of Jeremiah, things aren't good. Things aren't good for Jerusalem. Things aren't good for the people of Judah. And that's kind of where we are. Things don't look good for America. Things don't look good for us. So what do you do? Well, we know that the important thing is to lay up treasures in heaven. That's really the ultimate goal. Because where our treasures are, that's where my heart is. So if I can't see beyond this life, really, well, I may call myself a Christian, and I may say I'm going to heaven and all of that, but if my life is all wrapped up in the here and now, I am not living for tomorrow, really. I'm just focused on this. So I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Jeremiah 32, and we're going to rapidly go through this. But in Jeremiah chapter 32, we find a man in jail. And the man is Jeremiah. He's there because he's a religious nut. I don't know if you can read that on the back of his shirt, but that's what it says. It says religious nut. And Jeremiah is in prison. And it said, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. And we go on to read, and we find out that the reason he is there is because he has said Zedekiah is going to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar. He will be taken to Babylon, and they will stay there until the Lord visits them. So that's kind of the situation that we find. Jeremiah is in prison. Then we read down a little farther. Verse 6, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and he said to me, please, buy my field that is Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, for the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Jeremiah's putting the thing together. Verse 9, so I bought the field from Hanamel. Now, you got the picture? Nebuchadnezzar is ready to besiege Jerusalem. The ramp is being built to the wall. In fact, this is the year that Nebuchadnezzar is going to break through. This relative, maybe you have a relative like this, I don't know. But this relative is coming to Jeremiah and says, I have the most beautiful land in Louisiana that I would love to sell you. The swampland in Louisiana. The enemy already has this land. The enemy's already occupying this property. And he comes along and says, I got a deal for you, Jeremiah. I want you to buy this property. You know, you've all got that. Boy, I got this beautiful, beautiful home. You know, it's just oh, let me make you a deal. But then you find out that they're building a road right through the middle of it. You know, it just drops the property value. It's not worth a whole lot after that. That's kind of where we are. This property is already under the control of the Babylonians. And they're ready to break through the wall. I mean, the future of Judah looks pretty dim here. This does not look like the place you want to invest. Are you getting the picture? This is poor financial investments here. I mean, usually, if you're going to be a flipper, you buy something that's not worth a whole lot, and you put a little into it, and you make some money. This isn't a good flipper. This is a bad deal. But there's a reason behind this. There's a reason why God has come to Jeremiah and said, look, your relative is coming. He's going to want to sell you a piece of property, and I want you to buy it. There's a reason for this. It's a picture. It's something that God wants the people to understand. This is not all there is today. This is not it. There's more to life than what you are facing right now and the issues you are dealing with. There's much more. And so we read that Jeremiah buys the property. And if you drop down to verse 11, it says, so I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and the custom, and that which was open, and I gave the purchase deed to Barak, and he asked him to put it in clay jars. Now, all of this is being done publicly. This is not a deal that Jeremiah is making in prison just with his relative and taking care of it. They're bringing in the public. They're bringing in the officials. They're wanting everybody to see what's taking place. This is a huge step of faith. Because anybody there would have told Jeremiah, this is not good planning. You know, I find that interesting that during this journey of ours that there have been those who have come along and some of the decisions that we have made and ministry changes and things of such that affected us greatly in the here and now and the security of life. There were those that came along and said, this isn't smart. I think I may have shared with you that there was one time early in the ministry where a deacon at a church told me that if I took this position that I was worse than an infidel. I was worse than an unbeliever to take this step, to put my family in a situation to where we would not have the securities and no guarantees. And sometimes faith is a big step. So here we find what really happens in our lives. This is what goes on within us. There's this struggle, this fight. We want to be children of God. We want to be men and women of great faith. We want to accomplish great things. And yet, inside of me, there's that fear and that selfishness and that greed and I don't want to let go. There's this struggle that goes on. And so we kind of see this. Because walking by faith is sometimes very, very hard. But we do it. We do it. Those of you that are married took a step of faith. I mean, when you think about the statistics say chances are it ain't going to work. But you took that step, didn't you? And every one of you that have had children took a step of faith. You did. Well, our walk with God is very much like that. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we have to trust him. We have to believe that he is a God who is in control, and we just have to step out and say that we will trust him and follow him and leave the details to him. We won't have time to go to the New Testament, but we're reminded that, you know, when you came into this world, you didn't bring a suitcase. You didn't have a bank account. You came in streaking. You were naked, and you had nothing. And when you leave this place, you leave the same way, with nothing. Solomon reminds us in the book of Ecclesiastes that when we're living for just the here and now, and that's all we're really focused on, he finally comes to the conclusion that even though he has put together a portfolio that's pretty impressive. He begins to realize that I'm going to leave this to people who really won't appreciate it. They really won't. And he begins to see the vanity of all of that. And what's he doing? He's focused on the here and the now. He's not thinking beyond. And so when Jeremiah buys this piece of property, it makes no sense. Nobody in their right mind is buying property that is being occupied by Babylon, who's about to wipe us off the map. But God can see beyond Babylon. God can see beyond what is going to take place. There's a future to be thinking about. There's a future to be planning for. And that's what Jeremiah 32 is reminding us, because God tells Jeremiah that, listen, one day I'm going to bring these people back. They will be buying property. They will be building homes, and they will reestablish it. There's a future to be thinking about. And so Jeremiah buys the property, and we just read that he had the deed and everything put in clay pots. And you say, that's not a very safe. It's a very safe. You know, there was a day when a little shepherd boy was just kind of out minding his own business and doing what little boys do. He didn't have a lake to skip rocks. And so he was throwing them up into the cliffs and into the cave holes. And one of those stones that he threw, he heard it hit, and it broke pottery. And so when they went up to find the pottery, guess what they found? They found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And do you know how long those Dead Sea Scrolls had been in those clay pots? Some 2,000 years. And so Jeremiah said, I want you to put them in clay pots where they will be preserved for a long time. Look into the future. Planning for the future. And Jeremiah knew. And God reminds Jeremiah, and Jeremiah knows this, that there is nothing too hard for God. Now listen to me. If God yanks your chain and he asks you to step out of your comfort zone and to follow him, he can take care of you. He can. Now, that doesn't mean he gives you everything you want, because he doesn't. And it's a good thing, because sometimes we get so satisfied with the things that we forget about him. There's nothing too impossible with him. There's nothing too hard for God. All he asks is that each of us will trust him. And that when life seems so uncertain, as it did to these folks in Judah, when the enemy is about ready to break through the walls, he's going to kill your families, he's going to destroy your homes, he's going to tear this place apart, and many of you are going back as slaves, it looks pretty dreary. But God's still in control. So regardless of what happens Tuesday, God is still in control. It may look pretty bleak, it may look pretty dreary, but he's in control, and you've got to look beyond today. It's planning for the future that we really need to be doing. There's nothing too hard with God. And so that brings us back, and I didn't take time to go through all of this because we don't have that time, but I'd encourage you to read it later, because it appears that, I mean, theologians wonder whether Jeremiah in his prayer was beginning to doubt and to wonder or what was going on here, because he's praying about all this. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but he knows God is in control and he trusts him, and he buys the property, does all of that. He's made one of the worst investments, common sense would say, he's ever made here, but he's planning for the future. And you need to be planning for the future too. The Bible reminds us that we are to lay treasures up in heaven. There are no moths there that chew holes and destroy. There's no rust there. I have a poor investment sitting in my garage. And I don't even know why I got started in it. I guess sentimental things. You ever been sentimental about stuff? Well, the first car I ever drove was my dad's. He was going through midlife crisis. Now, Eddie, don't get too excited here yet, all right? But he was going through a midlife crisis, and he bought himself an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sport. It wasn't the 442, but it's everything that a 442 is. And so that's what I cut my teeth on. And, you know, four on the floor, and four-barrel car, and posi track, and I drove that thing to school my senior year with a cast up to here using an ice scraper. Never mind. But anyway, rust was destroying this thing. It was destroying it. It was sitting in my dad's yard, and it was destroying it. And I thought, well, Dad, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind trying to restore that thing. And so I took it, and I got the sandblaster out, and I started cutting through that thing. And I remembered him having it fixed, but I didn't realize how much Bondo they had put into it. And the body was gone. The body was gone. So I found another body. I put the newer body on. I kept my motor and tranny and engine, and had the engine rebuilt. But, you know, I didn't get it finished. And so my oldest son said, I'd like to try to do that. So I gave it to him, and it sat in his yard. Now I got it back in mine, you know. There are some things that just aren't too smart, I guess. But there is one thing that is smart, and that's laying treasures up in heaven. There are no moss, no rust, no thieves. But that's where we really need to be investing. Because God said, listen, if you lay your treasures up in heaven, that's where your heart's going to be. But if you don't lay your treasures up in heaven and all you're living for is the here and the now and the securities and your comfort zone and all of that, that's where your heart's going to be. And so when it comes to living for eternity, we don't do so well. We don't do so well. So my takeaway from Jeremiah 32 is that, what God is dealing with here is he's bringing the people back after the captivity. This is an earthly promise for them. It really is. Though it's a picture of a heavenly promise to us. But he was going to bring them back and he was going to restore them, but God has promised us that one day he's going to come back and get us and take us out of here. So I come back to this and I ask the question, are you investing in the future? And I don't mean this future, I mean eternity. Eternity. Because that's what really matters. And as a parent, you teach your children the importance of planning for the future. They learn. And if you're planning for the future is the here and now, then that's what they're going to plan for. If they don't see that eternity and laying treasures up in heaven and living for that, they don't see that. They won't either. And if you notice, I was going to make note of the picture that they had up there while Brenda was singing. I don't know if you saw it. It was a beautiful fall scene with yellow, I don't know if they were aspen, I don't know what they were, the yellow leaves, and then a little water creek, got to get right area here, creek. But then there was this old building, old house or whatever it was. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, 100 years ago, that would have been sufficient for most of us in this area, wouldn't it? That would have been sufficient. We'd have made it. We'd have survived. I think we could have been happy. How do I know that? I've had the privilege of seeing several countries around the world and seeing people that don't have anything, and they're happier than we are. But what's happened? Well, what's happened is we have taken our eyes off of what's really important, and we started focusing on the here and the now. And our culture is going downhill fast. Folks, it's time that we begin to recognize and to realize the importance of following and obeying the Creator and live by His principles. Because what we have known as commonplace as the American life could change. And if it does, God doesn't change. And we should find that security and that joy in Him. Plan for the future. Let's pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, just silently as you're sitting there, answer the question to yourself, are you really planning for the future? And I'm not asking you how your investment portfolio is doing and your stocks and your bonds and all of that. I'm asking you, are you really planning for eternity? In order to do that, first of all, you have to have a relationship with Christ. You need to know him as Savior. And if you have any questions on that, I would be glad to talk with you in regards to that later. But those of you that are believers, you know exactly what we need to be doing. And it should be evident to everyone who or what we're really living for. And I would pray that maybe there would be those decisions in our lives right now to begin to make those changes. Get our heart and mind set to where we know what we're living for and never take our eyes off of it, regardless of what may happen around us. Father, thank you for this morning, for this time together. And there's so much in Jeremiah 32 that we've just scratched the surface of, but the point that Jeremiah is being taught and also teaching the people of Judah is that they have to look beyond what's happening right now. They need to focus on the future. And that is so true with us as well. Help us to become those people that have the faith and trust in you that regardless of what may happen in this country or in the world, that we know what we're living for. And may our light so shine that those in darkness see, and they too want to know what it is that gives us the hope and the purpose in life when things seem so bleak. And we'll thank you for accomplishing that in our lives. Father, if there be anyone here that would like to talk further, I would love to sit down with them and to share with them and open up your word and try to answer questions. But may we become a people who know why we're here and what we're living for. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.